What a joy to be back in Zambia, and most particularly, what a joy to be among the blessed family of God in Kitwa Church. I pray this morning that it's not me who will be speaking, but I pray that the Lord will speak to our heart. And as Pastor Phil Hunt said, do not leave this place. Make sure you make your life right with God. And if this is the desire of your heart, please meet each and every one of the elders here after the service, and they will help you how to walk right with God. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this morning. Thank you, God, for the life that you have given us once again to see the new sunrise of the day and to be before the holy presence. Father, we thank you that you are the reason why we are here this morning. May you speak to our hearts. On the behalf of my family, my wife, God, I want to say thank you for the answered prayer of the saints in Kitwa Church. And even, Lord, beyond this continent, people have been praying for us. And because of that, we are here today. May you bless this age and every one of them. God, thank you for the answered prayer. Be with us as you speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we turn our Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2? The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And we go through from verse 1 to 10. This book, of course, was written by Apostle Paul. And I love reading his word, especially when he was ministering in his third missionary journey, especially in Ephesus. When you read chapter 18, 19, and 20, you will find how Apostle Paul was preaching to the people of Ephesians. And he made, of course, some challenges in these towns. And one of the challenges that he made, of course, was the temple of great Artemis. The blasphemy that stands again is the word of God. And when we go to chapter 20, we find out how Paul at the last of his staying in Ephesus, and was encouraging the people, the elders of the church in Ephesus, how he showed himself as an example of the gospel. And he was encouraging them to be good shepherds to the flocks of God. From the beginning of the book, he was praying and thanking God for the work that God has done in the life of the Ephesians. Right from chapter 1, even chapter 2, he was appreciating them. And he called them the saints because God has saved their lives. In this word of God of today, we will have three things, and the Lord will speak to us. That number one, you had a life that you left before, a sinful life. You are in a sinful nature. And look what God has done to bring you from where you are. You were living a sinful life. And we see the characters of the sinful people, how they were living. And it was characterized right from chapter 2, from verse 1 to 3. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you were once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This could be you. We have been walking in our lives since the sin entered the world, and we don't know Christ. That was what Paul was thanking God for, the people of Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, the saints in Ephesus. That was your life before. Remember that, where you came from. Remember what Christ did in your life. You don't deserve to be saved because you're supposed to be punished. You're supposed to be crucified on the cross. You're supposed to go to hell, to eternal fire. You're condemned because of your sins. Remember that. And you're supposed to weep, you're supposed to mourn, as even the book of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn of what? Mourn of sin. Now, when you, as a Christian, when you sit here in the house of the Lord and you look back what God has done in your life, you need to mourn. You need to grieve of your sins. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When I look at my life back, how I was living my life, I said, God, thank you. It's not by my making, not by my power, not by my strength, but by your grace, you have saved my life. And I am who I am today because of the work of Christ Jesus on the cross. I can't come to God by myself. God has done it. God has ordained you to be here from eternity before the creation of the world. He destined you, he predestined you to be the sons of the kingdom of God. Remember that. Maybe you are still in your sins and you're here. And you can't even sense and mourn for your sins and you enjoy your sins. And the Bible describes you as the sons of disobedience. And he said, this is among whom we all once lived in passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were nature by children of wrath. Each and every action, there is a consequence. If you live in sins, then there is a consequence. You are under the wrath of God. Thank God today that you are here listening to the word of God. When you hear the word of God, do not harden your heart. And I pray the Lord will soften your heart and accept his word today. One day, we will all stand before the Lord and be accountable of what we did on earth. How you lived your life on earth. Was it in obedience to the word of God? Were you pleasing God in your life? Remember, the wrath of God is there. God is just. Yes, he is loving. He is merciful right now. But there will be a time where God's justice will be upon us. You don't have any excuse to blame God one day. If God say this is your place in hell. All of us have conscience to live by. To know what is right and what is wrong in addition to the word of God today you are hearing. You can't blame God. We have been hearing the word of God all along, different places. This is what God is telling us and this is what Paul is writing to the Ephesians. Remember, you are supposed to be under the wrath of God. You're supposed to go to hell. But because of the mercy of God, because of the love of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you are there today. You have everlasting life because of the mercy and the love of God. The free gift, Romans 6:23. The wages of death is sin, is death. The wages of sin is what? Is death. That is the result, the consequence of the sin that Paul is addressing. That was your life before. You were like that, under the wrath of God. The consequence is supposed to go to hell, to die, to go to eternal damnation, fire, that you will be there for eternity. But because of the mercy and the love of God, God has saved you. He was appreciating the Ephesians because he had experience in the town of Ephesus when he was preaching there. He knows what it'd be like as a missionary. He knows what it is like as a messenger of God. And that is why in Acts 20 he was addressing and giving his instruction and telling his testimonies to the elders in Ephesus. Be careful, live wisely by the word of God. The flocks of God is under your responsibility. You need to take care of them, and I'm going. Some of you may not see me even again. And if we're able to meet, praise be to God. So he was praising God and thanking God for the saints, for the church, for the people of the Ephesus who have believed in Christ Jesus. Will God one day say to you, well done, my son, my daughter, for living your life faithfully, come and sit by my right. And as God, Paul was doing that, I would like to say thank you for prayers. As we are laboring in the field in South Sudan, have been praying for us. As God was praying for the church in Ephesus to prosper, to march on, to stand firm in faith. And you have been doing that for us in that challenging place. And because of your prayers, God has been keeping us, watching over us. And the church is prospering. If it is panano, panano, but God is doing his work. Hallelujah. God is doing his work. So, the Bible is reminding us today of our life in the past. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The past has gone and the new has come. That was what Paul was saying to the Ephesians. Remember the past, what God has done in your life. You were spiritually dead. If you live in sin, my brother and my sister, and you are here, you are spiritually dead. What does that mean? You are completely separated from God. You don't have a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are likely, if God's willing, I'm not wishing you to die today. But if you die and you are without Christ, you're likely to go to hell. Because you are completely separated from Christ Jesus. He's the only one. You will not go to heaven because you come to church every Sunday. You will not go to heaven because you carry the Bible to come to church. And sometimes this is hypocrisy. Your life inside does not really tell that you are a Christian. By your action, by your life, by what you do, how you live your life among the people, they will tell us that you are not a Christian. Just recently, I think it was 2 weeks or 1 week ago, there was a bishop. And I told my wife, I know him very well. And I think he went somewhere just behind a fence, was helping himself. And then the owner of the fence came out and of the house said, what are you doing? And in a state of him saying, apologize, sorry, I couldn't find a place where I can go. I'm so much pressure. But he said, what's your problem? And he still wanted to beat. He wanted to beat this man. And the man was saying, the wife was saying, why are you beating my husband? What has he done? You have done something wrong and you still want to beat. And he was a bishop. What does that tell about his relationship with Christ Jesus? I don't know. Because I know him, I didn't come to say, hi, bishop, how are you doing? I just disappeared. And I came and told my wife, that bishop did something. I think he disgraced the name of God. And people will wonder whether he's a Christian or not. And I'm not sure whether those guys know that he's a bishop, but I know him. And if they know that the bishop said, what kind of a bishop is this? I want to beat someone? And you're a Christian, a bishop, servant of God? That's what Christ is saying to us. Let your life attract people to Christianity, to Christ, to the kingdom of God. You don't need sometimes to go and preach this gospel, but your life is a gospel by himself.
as you live your life with your neighbor, as you live your life with your colleague in the office, as you live your life in the marketplaces and in transport, as you live your life with, even with your husband, with your wife, or with your children, let your life show that you're truly a Christian. And that is why we are called saints. Paul was telling the people, remember what's happened. When you go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, will tell us this. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 to 21. We know that very well, the fruit which does not give glory to God. Chapter 5 verse 19. How do you know that we are under the wrath of God? How do you know that you are not a Christian? And we read from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Praise God. If you, this is a category. If you are among this category, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what Paul was saying. That is what your life before, you have been doing this before. And God saved you from this kind of characters. We were spiritual dead. But thanks be to God. But Paul was saying, when you are spiritual dead, and then number two, that you were made alive. Praise God. That was your life. That was what you were before. But praise be to God that you were made alive in Christ Jesus, or made alive with God. As we go back to our test, the test will tell us, if chapter 5, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That was what you were. But praise be to God, because of the mercy and the love of God, because of his grace, you are made alive. You were separated because of sin. You are condemned. You are actually spiritually dead. Although you walk, you are still alive, but you're spiritually, you're already dead. But because of the mercy of God, because of his love, because of his grace, God made you alive. Now, the work of salvation is not our work. It's not the work of a pastor, not an evangelist, not any woman, lady here. It's not the work of anyone, not a bishop, as we call. It's the work of Christ. For one to get saved. He did it on the cross. Christ did a great work on the cross. He gave himself willingly to die on the cross because of us. When he was dying, he said, all has finished. That means he did all the work so that you may have an access to the kingdom of God. He did the work that you will not do it.
He did the work that even your sacrifice will not be able to do it, as we have seen in the movie. And people make sacrifice so that God should accept them. He did the work that even if your name, you're given a name of a Christian, and that name will not take you to heaven. You can even be called Paul. Or you can even be called Virgin Mary. But you will not go to heaven until you accept the works of Christ that he did on the cross because of you. And you believe in that one. And he said, God, thank you for what you did on the cross, because otherwise I am on my way to hell. That's what God made you alive. The moment you prophesy Jesus. In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, and as you go there, when you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, and you believe in your heart that Christ is Lord, you will be what? Saved. You see that? You confess with your mouth the work of Christ, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. May Christ be the Lord over your lives. May you believe, may you confess right now as you sit there. Open your heart and confess your sins to God. It's time to say, it's time to just say, enough is enough for being a hypocrite all the time. You are Christians on Sunday, but from Monday to Saturday, you are not a Christian. And most particularly when it's weekend, Friday, Saturday, you know what happens. It's a time for Christians to say, enough is enough. We want to be a holy church, a saint of God. Because God is coming to take what? His holy church. Not defiled one. God is coming to take the holy church. And if you're a Christian, you better live your right every second glorifying God. Every minute, every hour, every day. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. 30 days or 31 days a month. 365 days a year. Live your life to glorify God. We don't know when he's coming. And that is a challenge. You cannot live it by yourself. You need the grace of God. And that is why when you believe and put your trust in him, he is the only one who will enable you to do that. By grace of God. His grace is sufficient. So he makes us alive through our faith in Christ Jesus. God made those saints alive by his mercy, his rich mercy. And we say that the consequence of sin is there. The wrath of God is waiting. But now, when you put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus and he makes you alive, you still have the consequence of your faith in Christ Jesus. You guess what? Your position has been shifted from the sons of disobedience, from being doing the agenda of Satan, devil, being in the kingdom of Satan, and now God shifted you, put you in another position in Christ Jesus, made you alive. And your position is, you are here on earth, but you are seated with God in heaven by faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, live your life as the children of the kingdom, not the children of this earth. And that is why by the end, he's telling us that the works and the deeds of the sinful nature, we have just read in Ephesians. And even the disobedience, the anger, the bitterness, the envy, the hatred, this is their characters. This is the way how they work. But when you come to Christ and your positions in Christ Jesus, you have been positioned there, then your work is different. The Bible will tell us, work as Christ worked. How did he work? You know very well. That is a position in Christ Jesus. Worked as Christ worked. Be merciful, forgiving. Peace, love, joy. Let your work, let your deeds reflect that you are Christians, all of us. Let what you do. What is the work that you do when you are in Christ Jesus? What is the work that you do as you are Christ Jesus? You are in the Lord. You are a born again Christian. What is the work that you're supposed to do? Like I said, yes, you need to pray. Yes, you need to read your Bible. You need to take the word of God and share the gospel with the people. But believe me, people need to see you living what you are saying. People need to see you living what you are preaching. That is the work that God is expecting from you and from me. That our lives reflects Christ Jesus to people. People will see Christ in us the way how we do things. When you do things all for the glory of God. Corinthians 10:31. God is expecting you to do that. When we go to when you sit here, you will see, you will sense the Spirit of God, because all things are connected. I didn't tell Pastor Han, I didn't tell Jasmine or whoever, but when you see the preaching, and when even yesterday Pastor Jamie was telling us, and my wife was saying, was this not what you're studying? Was this not you told us that your chapter of today of preaching, and you are doing that? And Pastor Jamie is telling the same thing. This is the Spirit of God talking the needs of today. And I was telling my wife that Jamie has preached my sermon yesterday in the seminar of the alumni. But this is meant for you. Praise God. God is speaking. In Matthew chapter 5, I also love Matthew so much because this is the gospel that will address the life of Christians. Tell you how to live as a Christian, as a child of God in the kingdom of God. Because Matthew is telling, especially in the Beatitude, that as a children of God, this is how you should live your life in line with the kingdom of God. So the children of the kingdom should live this life. And in Matthew chapter 5, and we read from verse 14. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 5. First of all, before we go there, and the Bible is saying, as you go, there are so many things the Bible is telling Christians and how to live their lives as children of God, as belong to the kingdom of God. And we take the Beatitudes all and read from verse 1, and you go to verse 12, and this is the life we're supposed to live as Christian. And he summarizes it in this chapter 5 and verse 14. Although in 13 he said, you have to be the salt and you have to be the light. That means you need to influence the world. The world is darkened by what they do. The world is very dark, and you are the light, and you are the soul to influence the world. They need to see your character, your behavior, your attitude reflects the Bible, reflects Christ Jesus. And now in verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hidden. Praise God. That's your work. You should be the light, the work of a Christian. You should be the light in your house. You should be the light in your office. You should be the light in your area with your neighbor. You should be the light. Wherever you are, be the light. And we know there is no relationship between the light and the darkness. As you have been saved, you are saying you are a holy child of God. You are the light. And you cannot be the light without Christ Jesus. He is the light. And because Christ Jesus lives in you, he makes you light of the world. Without him, you will not be the light. And if you live as a Christian, still living in a sin, then you diminish the light of God. There will be no light. What is the difference between you and those who are in darkness? If you do whatever the people of the world do, then there is no difference between you. Be the light and not the darkness. And that is why Matthew is telling that you are the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your what? Good works. Was that not the one Paul was telling the Christians there in Ephesus? They will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Christ, he made us live together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. This is your position. You are seated with God in heavenly places. Imagine that you are here on earth, but already you're where? In heaven places. And this is the future that God is telling you that as you continue obeying me, pleasing me, as you continue doing that work, as you continue reflecting my image to the rest, to know Christ Jesus, you are going to be with me in heaven. I have already destined you there. I've already positioned you there. That is your reward. Praise God. That's why you're supposed to live your life. And you're going to be there. And you need to rejoice as a Christian living on earth. Yes, you are having temptation, but you stand firm in Christ Jesus. You have a trial, you stand firm in Christ Jesus. I mean, your faith is still not shaken by whatever happening in the world. You are there because you know that my position is in Christ Jesus in heaven. I'm just living temporarily here on earth. My mission is to make everybody to become Christian. My mission is to make everybody to know Christ Jesus through my life, what I do, through my character and behavior. When you are Christ, the moment you have accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and a Savior, you already have a mission. Praise God. The missions begin when you have accepted what? Christ Jesus. Wow. Is it true, Pastor? Yes. The moment you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Matthew 20, you already have what? Mission. People who can go abroad, yes, overseas, yes, but your mission could be somebody who is near to yourself. Your mission could be also somebody who is in the church sitting next to you and is another Christian, and to share gospel with that person. That's your mission. Your mission is somebody who is just in your house, one of your members is still not Christian. Pray for him and plea and cry tears down that God should save him. This is your mission. Your mission is somebody who is your neighbor. This is your mission. Do not let Christianity be put to shame because of your character. I remember, I've been telling this. There was a woman who was a Christian. And by the way, she was the blessing to me to be a Christian, to receive Christ Jesus. Because she paid for my conference fee. And I was by then in darkness. And for Christ's sake, I was a religious person before. And she said, go to attend. I was in my university. Go and attend this fellowship of Christian University. Have a conference. And I said, well, I haven't been there one day. I don't know what is it all about. Because I come from that religious, you know, life. And she said, I gave an excuse. I don't have money. Actually, you have to pay for the conference fee. I will pay for you. All right. I don't have transport. Okay, here's the transport. Can go. All right. But how am I going to? There are things I need. A towel, I need one. Okay. Here are all your expenses, please. Go. And she paid for everything. And I became a Christian there because of her. Unfortunately, one day we went to preach the gospel when we received Christ Jesus for the very first time in my life. You know, very hot, and I'm still hot. Eh? We went from house to house preaching the gospel. Right where she was staying, the mother who sent me, the compound is big and divided, the house is rented by two families. And we went to the other family side to share the gospel on Christmas Day. And as we were sharing the gospel, the mother was crying. The owner of that house, the wife of the house was crying. We didn't find the husband, but the kids and the wife. And she was, when we shared the gospel and preaching, and we could see the tears coming, and she was crying. And we, you know, for us, the pastors, when somebody was crying, that is to preach the gospel, he said, God, thank you. I think the word has touched the person. And praise be to God, you have done your work. Moreover, it's different. She was crying because of the neighbor. And when we finished preaching, and she said, you know why we are crying? I said, of course, the word of God. Said, no. The word of God was beautiful. The word of God was excellent. The word of God is really, you preach the right thing, the truth. But you're not supposed to do that to me. You're my neighbor supposed to preach to me. She was a believer. Every time she carried a cross and she goes to church. But guess what? Whatever I hear, she says about us. And you could hear whatever that family is saying concerning us. You will wonder whether that woman is a Christian or not. And that's why I was crying. This beautiful message, this nice Bible, why is she not applying? And that was my pity for her. I was crying that because the message is beautiful. I've accepted it. But I was crying, she's not supposed to do that. My neighbor's supposed to do that. She goes to Sunday every church and she preaches, and she goes there and she pretends to be a Christian every time. But what she did, she's doing to my family, is not Christianity. There is no difference between her and myself who has been not a Christian. It's better for me not to go to church if this is what the people go to church do. I stay home. And this is the message exactly. What God is telling us. Is this your life? And I will conclude. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that is why I concluded with this story. How is your life as a Christian? Maybe you are a Christian, but somehow you don't reflect Christianity. Somehow you don't reflect God in your character, in your behavior. Somehow you are not living a Christian life as it's in the Bible. You need to repent. And you need to make your life right with God. And if you are not completely Christian, you're not born again. You didn't receive Christ. You're here coming to church. This beautiful key to a church. God will make you beautiful more than this church. Praise God. As he's doing to this church, he will do to your life. Let us bow our head and pray. Ask God to forgive you. If this is your life, the message has been preached and God has spoken to us this morning. Decision that you are making today, it will either be positive because of the right decision made or negatively because you have rejected Christ Jesus. And the consequence of the decision is awaiting you. You can meet any one of them. Just pray in your heart and say, God, forgive me. I would like to make my life right with you. Thank you for speaking to my heart this morning. God, I'm sorry for my sins. This beautiful message that from the Bible that I've heard today that has changed my life, transformed me. God, I want to thank you for dying on the cross because of my sins. Just pray this simple prayer. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us today to hear the word of God, to hear your message clearly spoken to us this morning. May your message dwell in our heart richly, transform us, and continue to convict us to live our life in obedience to your word, to live our life to please you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.